find another route around. I got Mark Dorison here in the studio. What is an alternate route around? If you, I always say take an alternate route around, and then I look at the map. It's like there really is none, unless you want to go way out of your way.
Yes, I
you
guess.
You go to Homestead?
You go to Homestead or you go down Franklin. I mean, those are the east-west routes.
Yeah.
Around
this is what you came on the air to talk about.
That's
traffic
right.
updates.
That's right. And, you know, I guess you take 54 if you want to take all the way around. But, you know, it's funny because all of those, you know, those are Estes is two lanes, Homestead is two lanes.
Right. So one accident and then.
That's right. Yeah. So, the one I just came through the one on Estes and, you know, it's in one lane, but obviously they haven't moved the vehicle yet, and so it really, you know, it backs everything up very, very badly.
So. Yeah. All right. So avoid Estes Drive if at all possible between MLK and Greensboro, because that accident is causing delays both ways. So 5:39 here at WCHL. We've got Mark Dorison here in the studio, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, also managing attorney for the UNC Center for Civil Rights. And actually, we'll talk about county stuff here as well. But
great.
I want to pick your brain on civil rights issues this week as well, because every time I ask you to talk about the Center for Civil Rights, it's always in the context of this proposal that the Board of Governors is talking about. But let's actually talk about civil rights here, since that's the purpose of the center's existence. We have the Confederate flag issue at the Orange County School Board today. They had that policy committee meeting, and they approved the new, broader, doesn't actually mention the Confederate flag proposal that passed the policy committee and now goes to the school board. Brenda Stevens, who sits on the policy committee, made a really good point earlier today at this meeting. I was talking about it with Blake Hodge during the 3 o'clock hour, but I want to bring it back up again because I think it's a really salient and important issue that looking at the policy that's now before the board, it's a broader policy. It's more sort of vaguely worded to not mention any specific symbol and just give leeway to staff members and administrators to make the decision as to what is intrusive, what is potentially threatening or creates a disruptive environment for people on the basis of race and sexual orientation and gender and religion, et cetera. And Stevens looks at this proposal and says, this makes perfect sense. There's nothing about this proposal that I disagree with. I'm concerned about the fact that seemingly every single time we have an issue where there is injustice or inequality or inequity directed at African Americans, as in this case, we always end up invariably dragging our heels as long as humanly possible before we actually do something. And then when we do, way down the road, it ends up being diluted. And we don't take any action until we come up with the absolute perfect policy that everyone can get behind. So we have all of this talk about, oh, we want equity, we care about it, we're concerned about civil rights, and then we never do anything. I just want to get your thoughts on this, because this reminded me of the landfill issue, obviously, which we've talked about for more than three decades, and very much a similar thing. Everyone's on board with let's do something, and then it takes years and years to actually craft the policy, and eventually something gets done, but it's that justice delayedness of it as well, right? In the case of the landfill, it's years. In the case of this policy, it's weeks, but it's still weeks. That's significant. No. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, props to Brenda Stevens for raising that. I think her assessment is right on. I think that you know, even in a liberal community like Orange County, you know, it's a lot easier to give lip service to the ideas of equity, inclusion, racial justice, than it is to put those into practice. And I think the work of the Hate Free Schools Coalition has really been outstanding in organizing the community and bringing this issue to the forefront. And I think even in the arc that we've seen in that case, there are a lot of similarities in that there are delays, that there are attacks on the nature of the protests, right, rather than on the substantive issues. That is this the appropriate way to bring this up? Is this the appropriate way to engage? And then often those issues get subsumed into broader discussions about policy more generally, which has the effect of diluting or even minimizing the underlying issues of racial injustice. And so The Derrick Bell, who's a civil rights lawyer and law professor, wrote years and years ago about what he called the convergence theory, which was that, African Americans only made real gains towards racial justice when it happened, when those issues or interests converged with issues of whites who were seeking similar or related goals. And, the example I always think of is that, in the Brown versus Board of Ed case, mm-hmm. The State Department wrote a brief in support of the plaintiffs. Now, the State Department's argument wasn't that segregation was unjust or inappropriate. It was that in the battle for hearts and minds in the Cold War, racial segregation was a sort of America's Achilles heel, and it would really help them in countering the Russians if we could get over that. So, I think that assessment is right. And I think part of the challenge is, when the Confederate flag is a good issue, the spark or the particular issue that maybe brings the matter of racial inequity to people's attention is just that. And really what we need to get to is some of the underlying, historical and institutional discrimination that's built into our, into the institutions in our community.
And you mentioned the civil rights movement. The other sort of classic example of that is the 1860s, right? When the Civil War is going on, Abraham Lincoln and sort of Northern Republicans are dragging their heels on a sort of robust emancipation policy until they realize that they can win over European allies by imposing an emancipation policy, and it can be a support for the war effort, but they don't do it out of the goodness of their heart. They do it out of strategy in that case.
That's right. I think it's always surprising to people when they hear that, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't apply to slaveholding mm-hmm. states that stayed slaves in the states that stayed loyal to the Union. So it really was a strategic, decision motivated by military strategy rather than by issues. I mean, not for everybody, but certainly issues of racial justice.
And those are in the past. You can look at the present. You were talking about convergence theory. Is mm-hmm. that Derrick Bell? What are we seeing in terms of the Black Lives Matter and police brutality, arguments against police brutality? It's taken a really interesting turn this week with the shooting in Minnesota of, in this case, a white woman from Australia. And now the debate takes a new form in a way and gets people interested in talking about it in a way that they didn't and wouldn't have until this week.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And another good example, I think, is the national response to the opioid crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, yeah.
Now that drug abuse and drug, addiction has taken on or has been known publicly as having a white face, we're moving away from the war on drugs and the, mass incarceration model to a more appropriate model of treatment, rehabilitation.
Except for Jeff Sessions, who wants to move back.
That's right.
Yeah. Speaking with Mark Dorison, who is managing attorney for the Center for Civil Rights at UNC and chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. So having identified that problem, and this is, we're not innovating, we're not discovering anything that isn't already known and having this conversation, what do we do about it?
Well,
I
think one of the things we all need to do is just be talking about it, right, and being engaged and making sure that conversations about race and racial equity are part of the discussions all the time, right? We should be talking about that and more when we're talking about schools. It shouldn't be something that comes up only when there's an incident involving a Confederate flag or some other overtly racial incident, when we know we have disparities across every metric, and that's in our schools, and that's in our, in economic development, in jobs, in opportunities for higher ed. So really understanding and talking about how, one, these things didn't happen by accident. They're the sort of the natural and foreseeable results of centuries long policies and practices, and then two, that we've got to make forward-looking decisions that takes that into account.
As an elected official, what do you try to do to move that forward?
Well, I mean, one of the things I try to do is inject that issue or raise it in any context that it's appropriate to do so. And so whether you're thinking about hiring decisions, when we're recruiting folks to serve on advisory boards, when I'm out talking to people about running for local office, really understanding the need for, you know, inclusion and diversity, and that not just in those overt ways, but even in the small ways, sort of, you know, who's at the table, who's being invited to speak, who's in, you know, positions where we're soliciting input for the county, mm-hmm. or for county policy. And if we're not able to do that, what do we need to do differently? You know, we're very good at saying we have public meetings, we have lots of public information on the web. But that still puts a burden on residents to come, and show up at the time that we have. And so I think we've got to do a better job getting out into communities and neighborhoods that we don't hear from in our meetings or in our emails or things like that.
That is something that I think elected officials here in Orange County are, I think, a lot better at than most elected officials, not just hearing the voices of the people who show up at the meetings, who have the time and the energy and the free time and the resources to show up, but also to say, okay, so these 12 people spoke, who didn't? Who's not represented, and to reach out to those communities. I think Orange County does a better job and could, like, that's an ongoing process, right? You keep doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think we do a good job. I think we're concerned about it, but I think we need to do a lot better job. Mm-hmm. I go to a lot of events where I'm out there and I look around and I still see, you know, a very homogeneous mm-hmm. Group of people, either by race or by socioeconomic status. And you know, understanding again that there's got to be an effort to go to where people are, where, you know, and doing what they're doing and being engaging in their lives and experiences.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, who is the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, and I gotta say, I love it when you come on the air, because we did not plan any of this. Like, you walked in having run into traffic, and it's like, all right, get in front of the microphone. Okay, let's have this 15-minute really in-depth conversation. So thank you for being open to answering anything.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, a really good conversation.
We should figure out a way to take this, you know, tête-à-tête into a bigger setting. We should have, you know, we should do it with an audience, and you could moderate, and people could have this same kind of dialogue on a broader context.
I think that would
be a great idea.
Yeah, we should, we'll look into that. As soon as we find a location for it, I think that's the key. All right, speaking with Mark Dorison, so before we let you go, Orange County commissioners are between meetings, but what's going on in Orange County that people need to know about?
There is something good that I just wanted to make sure people knew about. So, the commissioners are off for the summer, but all the county staff are working, and I just wanted to let people know about this program that the Department of Aging has called Operation Fan Heat Relief.
Yes.
So it's a program, you may have been talking about this
mentioned
on the radio.
Mentioned it earlier this week, yeah.
You know, for folks who can get fans and air conditioners, it's for older adults, people with disabilities. It's, you know, if they live in Orange County, there are certain criteria. If they're over 60, they could get a fan and a box fan. And then there's other conditions. If there are health related conditions, they can get an air conditioner. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great program. So if you know folks who, you know, it's getting very, very hot, and it can be very dangerous for folks. So if you know people who don't have access to fans or air conditioners who might need them, they should call the Orange County fan program. That number is 919-245-4252. And if other folks are interested in helping support the program, either with a monetary donation or you just want to go out to the hardware store and buy a couple of box fans, you can take them to the Orange County Sheriff's Department. They're gathering them and collecting them and helping distribute them.
Is that where you go if you want to make a monetary donation too? Because that's a program that I think we all should be supporting.
Yeah, I think you can make a donation there as well, but I'll double check and I'll let you know. There may be some online way you can do it.
It's the senior centers where people can go to pick them up.
That's right. That's where they have them, at the Seymour Center and the Passmore Center, and then the Sheriff's Office has been gracious in being a collecting place for them, and also I know they've taken funds and gone out and bought fans.
And that's for adults who are over 60 or adults with disabilities, right, I think are also included, and you just have to be an Orange County resident who meets that criteria?
That's right.
Yeah. absolutely. Yeah, that's a terrific program. How long is that? How long does that go on? I know this weekend in particular, because it's going to be 100 degrees on Saturday. But
I think it goes on as long as they have fans.
Okay.
And so I think it'll be going on, you know, throughout the summer, and hopefully people will continue to contribute as well.
Very cool. OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on county happenings. Mark Dorison, as always, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It's great to see you, Aaron.